From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of August, 2026. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalCalmResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. The Extension field crops agronomist Giovanni Prezafontes will join us to discuss grain fill, dent, rainfall, and those low overnight, well, wait a second, higher overnight temperatures. They might be better than you think they are for the crop. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. We'll discuss that with Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and we'll do all of that on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org. But right now you can find our Commodity Week program too and listen to it in its entirety, or you can search it out by name in your favorite podcast applications. If you're listening to us on our home station, you'll hear all of that program in this hour. If not, many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend. Mike Zuzulo, GlobalCalmResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hello, Mike. Thanks for being with us again.
Great to be back with you, Todd. Thanks, and well done on the Commodity Week this week again. Another beautiful show.
Yeah, you and Jim McCormick and company all did a fantastic job yesterday. Ted Seifert on that show as well. It should be a good show to listen to. Folks can hear it coming up on just in a few minutes here on the Closing Market Report Hour, if you can stay with us for the whole thing. Now, did anything strike you in the overnight or day trade today that we ought to start with as we begin our conversation?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I would say, given what we talked about on Commodity Week and the WASDE report and the geopolitics that we covered, one thing that I walked away from after Commodity Week before we saw Friday's close was, what does all this mean? And I think you even ask a question like that towards the end. And I think I have a better answer than I did at that time period, because we have been able to make new monthly highs led by the wheat, both hard red and then soft red early in the day Friday, and then corn as we close the Friday trade. And that, I think, is very important, because I think it melds together and helps support the idea that the wheat and the crude are still very much leaders in this market, Todd. And if I had to dissect this week in between the WASDE report, it was more like a yo-yo. Tuesday, we'd heard that there was a ceasefire going to be worked out between Russia and Ukraine to move grain through the Black Sea. That was thrown to pieces on Wednesday, so we rallied sharply. And then all of a sudden, we saw the exact same thing on Thursday, where that came out after the report. Market fell hard. Friday, again, it was torn into the shredder, and the rumor mill just went back to being what, you know, we were trading before that, and that is supply-demand fundamentals and geopolitical tensions. So on a weekly and monthly basis, you couldn't have asked for much better of price action, because the WASDE report was a price-friendly or price-supportive report, in my opinion.
Do you suppose, and I suppose the leader in the commodities is actually crude oil at this point, but is it wheat, soybeans, or corn that you think is taking the lead position in the grains and oilseeds?
Yeah, great question, because I would say without a doubt, most of the time it's wheat. Historically, wheat leads and then corn follows 30 to 45 days later, wheat being the number one export in the world by Russia, and diesel being number two would make wheat and crude one and two right next to each other. And I think this week helped support that as well, because we did see some bigger numbers from Argentina in old crop corn, bigger numbers in old crop corn for Brazil. And so, yes, I would, and I would say also I've heard some quality issues in Europe for wheat. And I think that might give a little bit more feed wheat to compete with corn. So I would say, all things being equal, minus the stocks to use ratios of corn, which are on a 5-year low in world numbers, only 2/10 of a percent away on U.S. numbers, I still think wheat's overall our leader.
What do you suppose the rainfall in the United States in the Corn Belt is doing for grain fill at this time?
Yeah, I don't think it's doing much in the Western Corn Belt right now. I think it's going to do more in the next week or two if these models are right. And, you know, I've talked to some clients in Eastern Indiana that have been deluged with amazing rains and have actually had some human loss in Eastern Indiana as an indirect result of that situation. I think it's more about the soybeans, and I think that's something that Ted brought up in the commodity week that I thought was very smart to bring up, was the crop tour coming and the very big pod counts that we have and the potential to really bring that yield back around. I don't think there's any doubt, by the way, the trade was this week with the corn being bought and the beans being sold to the tune that the bean-corn ratio went to a three-month low, that the trade's kind of getting into that mindset already. So I'm not sure we can do much for corn yield going up in the next 30 days, given the two splits in the Corn Belt and in this heat that we're experiencing in terms of heat indices with lows of 80 degrees, 82 degrees. I mean, it's ridiculously hot at night right now.
Yeah, so that would be in your part of the world. Your highs, as you told us in Commodity Week, are really high as well. What else have you been watching in the marketplace?
Well, the overarching issue, the biggest negative feature in this market as we go forward is still going to be the bond yields and the commodity investor sentiment and mindset. Supplies, whether you're looking at corn or cattle, are going down. You know, we lost more slaughterhouse capacity at the end of this week. There's a big similarity between corn and cattle. It's a supply-led market. It's weather-led market. And I think the demand is holding in there because we haven't rallied these prices. And so it really becomes the outside investment call as far as whether they want to jump into commodities as we go through the end of the year and the first of next year or not. And I think geopolitically they should want to, Todd. What I mean by that is what we talked about in the commodity week is this is a lot like the 1980s, in my opinion. We beat back Iran and the Soviet Union. I don't think we're going to be able to do it nearly as easily as we did back then. And it's going to be a tough, tough fight here the next several months.
On the short term, how concerned are you that the Strait of Hormuz is closed today because of the shipping need, shipping length that it takes to move product, diesel fuel, phosphorus, nitrogen, urea, those sorts of things out of the strait, and what impact it might have on the 2027 growing season?
Well, a couple weeks ago, I did make the recommendation to lock in fuel prices, diesel prices. Maybe it was more like three or four, but then about a week and a half ago, I did say to clients, we've had a good break in most of the fertilizer, get it locked in. It goes back to the overall commodity market. Maybe it doesn't rally sharply because of these high freight rates and insurance costs make the price of commodities so much higher that you can't buy as much on the demand side, but it also suggests you're just not going to get much of a price break in the real market by that because of the same issues. And I think that's what we're going to have to contend with is the cash holding a premium versus maybe the futures and the fund trade.
Hey, thanks much. I appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzulo is with GlobalComResearch.com. He is out of Atchison, Kansas. Next week, Crop Scouts will fan out across the primary growing regions of the Corn Belt to discover what size crop there might really be in the field with some objective yields. Those were not taken by USDA in the August crop production report, while they will be also included in the September report. I wanted to know from Giovanni Prezafontes, the extension agronomist based on campus at the University of Illinois, just exactly how much of the corn crop might depend on grain fill and what weather impact there might be. I called to ask him about that. The first thing he told me was that about half, even more than half, of the full weight of an ear of corn is deposited during this time after dint begins.
So if you think about Illinois, I mean, let's in general, when we think about the grain filling stage on corn, when we talk about R5, right? So it usually takes about 25 to 30 days, depending on, you know, the weather and the hybrid. That usually happens in Illinois, like you said, as of August 10, the NAS reported about was at 14% of the corn back then, and that was the corn that was planted in April or early May. Actually, I was checking some plots yesterday. We have a planting day trial here at South Farm on campus, and our first planting day was April 12th, and the corn was at actually halfway through the R5 stage. We can see that by tracking the milk line. If you break the corn ear in half, and we can track the progression of the grain field through the milk line. So if you see a milk line that was halfway through, that's an indication that the corn was halfway through that grain filling period, and at that time only about 90% of total dry matter or the total kernel weight was being determined, and at that time we still had about, you know, another 2 weeks or so for physiological maturity. And again, that's dependent on the weather conditions, because, you know, we track corn growth and development with growing degree units, and that's mainly dependent on the weather.
How do you assess the current condition of the Illinois corn crop?
When we look at the NAS estimate for Illinois in August, and I think they packed Illinois corn at 212 bushels per acre, 2 bushels down from the average from 2025, which was 214 bushels. And again, I think, you know, because of that, those drought areas, the later planted crops also suffered a lot more than the early planted from that flooding or the wet conditions we had in June, which, you know, that also affect a little bit yield potential. We don't know how much specifically, but for sure it affects some. So again, I think 212, it's a reasonable number. The other question too, as we move through, you know, this grain filling period and then harvest time, is that we don't know if those estimates are going to go up and down, right? It's not unusual to see they change as harvest starts, because, you know, that's when we're starting to have a better idea of yields. I'm still optimistic of Illinois crop, but it's probably not going to break the yield record that we have of 217, but it should be close.
What impact does higher overnight temperatures during grain fill, say in the low to mid 70s, have on yield? And is that offset in any way by good rainfall?
70 is okay. And, you know, I think this rainfall will be very helpful to recharge soils, especially in those dry areas. I think if you look at the drought monitor map from Illinois, there were some pockets in northern Illinois and southern Illinois that were abnormally dry. That will help a lot, because, you know, what we think about is that the corn crop is taking about a quarter of an inch of water per day during grain filling period. So if you think about our mollet soils here in central and northern Illinois, we should have enough moisture to carry out the crop through the finish, I would think.
Because we're getting rain in August, more than usual, I'm just wondering whether that will improve grain fill.
Rainfall in August is always welcome, right? Because that's the time where we're filling those grains. But again, we need some combination of good soil moisture with weather conditions. We definitely need some sunny, warm days. That won't help, you know, the crop to keep ahead of schedule and filling those grains. My concern is that, you know, if we get cooler and cloudier, that's when, you know, the photosynthetic rate, it's not at maximum, and then that it has some sort of impact on grain fill.
Thanks much for the information, Gio. Giovanni Prezafontes is an extension field crops agronomist based on campus at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hello, Eric. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again on this rather soggy Friday.
You know, I'm on the state fairgrounds. We were supposed to have breakfast on the director's lawn. That happens each and every year. And there was so much rainfall, they just canceled it. It's unbelievable how much rain that we have had. This is one of those parts of the world in Springfield that really was a little shy all this week, and now there's rain.
Well, it's the state fair's fault. That's what we can just blame it on that. No, you know, Todd, it's important. And by the way, wait till you get home and see how wet it's been back here in Mahomet in Champaign. We had multiple rounds of storms come through, especially last night on Thursday night and Friday morning. Started around 1:30, 2 a.m. And Todd, I mean, we picked up already 3.5 inches across most of the area, and we're still growing. But that's nothing compared to what they've seen in northern Illinois. Parts of Indiana have picked up 15 to 16 inches of rain. And at some point, you get to this, you know, these levels where we're starting to do damage to the crops. And I think we're going to start to see more problem areas of fields that, believe it or not, in August are being drowned out, and that damage also from some very strong winds. In fact, oh gosh, earlier in the week, we had the tornado go just south of Seymour, right here in central Illinois. So it has been a rough week of ridge riding storms. They've tend to bow out in their structure. And because the Bermuda High has just been pumping moisture over parts of Texas into Missouri and then into Illinois, leaving Texas and parts of Missouri dry, we've been getting all the rainfall here, and it's starting to become a problem.
It becoming a problem, will it continue to be a problem?
Well, we're not done. We still continue to see this pattern set up for into the foreseeable future. And the hotter and drier Texas gets, the greater the risk of seeing more of this happen into the near-term future we're going to have. So I'm talking about like the rest of August. I think we have a chance at getting wetter. And as you know, because of, you know, the developing El Nino, I'm a bit worried about September, October, November being wet as well, Todd. So what a change of events compared to the last few years.
Yeah, saturated soils going into fall might be an interesting issue for harvest if that were to be the case. I know you've been talking about that for a couple, 3 or 4 weeks now. I take it nothing's really changed.
No, a lot of that's being driven by when we group together all of our strongest El Ninos, we look for the likelihood of it being a dry fall, and the likelihood's very low that it'll be a dry fall. Not zero, but it's just low. So El Ninos tend to tilt the odds in the favor of wetter fall conditions. Now, that could be wetter and not be a problem, or it could be wetter and be a big problem. And so what's happening now, we just need to keep an eye on this going forward. And what's funny, Todd, this isn't going to be a wet fall coming from, you know, big hurricanes out of the Atlantic. It's going to be coming from an energized subtropical jet stream that's going to leave the Central Pacific.
Hey, can I come back to this week and the rainfall that we've had? Because I do want to check on Iowa. They've got a very large crop.
Yeah.
It feels like that they got kind of just the amount that they need for grain fill there, and things could be really good.
Yeah, I got several texts from Iowa farmers that were like, that had memes or animated GIFs of like, praise God, you know, all sorts of things that were just like, they finally got what they needed. You know, some of them were less tasteful than that. But anyways, I think the idea here, Todd, is that, yeah, the storms went through Iowa. There was some damage, but the rainfall totals were not nearly as high as they were in parts of Illinois. I know we're close to what they saw in Indiana. There are parts of Indiana we've probably lost because of this heavy rain. And Indiana was one of our states that was looking pretty darn good up until this point. So, yep, good point to make there.
Okay, now turn your attention to this El Nino and the impact it can have on South America. We've talked about Mato Grosso. I think that's the center of where we've been discussing dryness, and they should start planning on September 1st, I think, again this year. So they usually wait. I guess you're going to tell me they're going to wait?
I think they're going to have to wait a little bit. This El Nino, which is in record territory already and will likely just smash through all of our records as it reaches a peak around Christmas, maybe a little bit before, but whatever. It's growing fast now, and what it historically does is make that center west area, you know, the Cerrado, a bit drier while keeping southern Brazil wetter, and they're flooding across southern Brazil. So, Todd, the thing to watch out for is the delay. It's just the delay in planting. That is what we're not looking at, a big yield or production changes. We're just saying, are you getting in early? Because that can press their crop calendar, make a big difference for U.S. export markets.
Hey, thank you much, Eric.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, that's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. Stay with us if you can for the whole of the hour. You'll hear all of our Commodity Week program. If not, it's up online right now at WILLAG.org.